Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, before we start the show, make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? Well, here's your answer. I figured it out. It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks are aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Bestsellers package are four iconic pork tender Butcher's cut filet mignons, four ultra juicy burgers, four savory pork chops, four kielbasa sausages, four rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is visit omahasteaks.com, type VOICES into the search bar to order the Butcher's Bestsellers package today. Save 50% plus get four free chicken breasts and four burgers, all from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years. That's omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar. Again, omahasteaks.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
No. Greetings all across the fruited plain. It is I, your leader, your messiah, and the world's greatest talk show host, Rush Limbaugh. Folks, if you're like me and so many other Americans who are feeling all butthurt over the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage, I am here today to help with my all-new Rush Limbaugh Butthurt Balm. It's a scientifically developed analgesic salve that's proven to alleviate the pain, swelling, itching, and staining of butthurt in country fresh or cookies and cream scents. Act now and get 20 Butthurt Balm applicators free of charge, because no one wants to get their fingers all sticky and smelly with the acrid, sour stench of butthurt. And if you're like me and you can't quite reach your butthurt, try my Rush Limbaugh Butthurt Balm applicator wand. It extends and bends, allowing you to apply my butthurt balm with the greatest of ease. And if you're also butthurt over the Obamacare decision, try Rush Limbaugh's Maximum Strength Butthurt Balm. I'm wearing Maximum Strength Butthurt Balm today, and Bo Snerdly's wearing the cookies and cream scented butthurt balm. Just go to rushlimbaugh.com and click on the radio microphone and enter the promo code A-hole for 10% off your purchase of Rush Limbaugh's Butthurt Balm. Another fine product from EIB, the Excellence in Butthurt Network.
Bob Seska!
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show!
Butthurt. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 18, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 30 of the Biden-Harris administration, 628 days until the 22 midterms.
And let's bring in the Goth Ninja. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, along with all the other Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs. It is your podcasting superstation, sexyliberal.com. Also, every Tuesday on the Stephanie Miller Show, by the way, stephaniemiller.com to listen and watch live every time it's on. Also, David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/T-Rex Report, also astralsummer.bandcamp.com. And all three of us are wearing our Rush Limbaugh butthurt balm today. That was from a few years ago. That was, I think, 2015 that I made that one. So much to talk about today, Goth Ninjas. I have a splitting headache, and it's not just because my buttons aren't working today for some reason. I woke up at like 5:30 this morning, and I don't mind saying I'm laying wide awake in bed. And what's running through my head? What's keeping me awake? What's keeping me from falling back asleep? Oh my God! It was this. This was stuck in my head. The Buzz Burbank jingle, for some reason, was jammed into my head, and I was about to get out like a rubber mallet, like a giant cartoon-sized rubber mallet, and just start thwacking myself over the head to get it to go away. I mean, I love Buzz, and I love Rocky Mountain Mike, but when this is circulating through my head at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I still have a couple of hours that I want to sleep, I just want to yank the rest of my hair out. It is so aggravating, and now, now I've got this headache. So if I'm a little logy today, if I'm a little slow in the uptake, that's probably why I didn't get
I can walk all over you conversationally. Yeah,
that's right. I didn't get my 13 hours of sleep a night, but yeah.
So here's a hint. The next time you have a song stuck in your head and you can't get rid of, just sing in your head Blackbird by the Beatles twice through. And it's like the magic reset button.
Really? That's interesting. I wonder how that works. I wonder if there's something special about that song. Can it be any song or does it have to be that song?
For some reason, Blackbird works for me because it's just the simplest possible, like, just melody and guitar and Paul.
Yeah, okay.
And
So that's like the magic.
I am a Paul man.
Yeah, that's the magic formula then. So if you're like me and you've got the Buzz Burbank jingle jammed into your head. Or, you know, I think a lot of people are having the Nick Lutzko song stuck in their head, thanks
Boat
to
parade.
Me. Yeah, it's entirely my fault. I do this. Boat parade, I do this to people. So, I am sincerely apologetic for that.
You're different than I am. Like, songs that get stuck in my head are songs that most people wouldn't know because they're original material for my mom's show.
Oh, see, now that's even worse, though.
I was literally thinking about, they did a takeoff on the Dolly Sisters movie years ago.
Yeah.
And it was an entire show, so it was an hour long. And there's this song with one of the Doily, and it was called the Doily Sisters. And,
uh-huh.
and my mom's character, I think it's during the war, but I forget. She ends up getting amnesia.
Yeah.
And so there's this song that she sings, and it's called "Hello, Who Are You?" where she's looking in the mirror and pointing at things all over her body that are wrong. And that was stuck in my head today.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. I'll find it for you, and you'll be like, "That's a very funny song," because it is funny.
Oh, you
but
know? Okay.
It was completely stuck in my head.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, you'll have a like waiting for the world to end. Like that song drove me insane until I could actually like make it a song with another musician because it was just on a loop in my head, and it was like trying out different arrangements and waking up at like 4 in the morning. It's like, this is what I sound like with Celtic penny whistles and a children's choir. I'm like, shut up! Leave me alone!
Stop, please, stop, stop.
I'm trying to write you as fast as I can, little song. Just like,
by the way, just a small point of order as far as that Buzz Burbank jingle goes. That's Mary in Ann Arbor singing on that, and I forgot to mention Mary in Ann Arbor when I was condemning it. I'm saying, thanks for being stuck in my head, Rocky Mountain Mike and Buzz and, oh yes, Mary in Ann Arbor. And as far as that goes, her name is Mary and her handle on the Stephanie Miller Show is Mary in Ann Arbor, as in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think a lot of people think when I say that, I'm saying Mary Ann Arbor. And that's not her. It's not her name. It's Mary in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so when we say that, it all kind of runs together. But anyway, let's see. Okay, so yesterday was a hell of a day. It was one of those banner days where it just seemed like there were lots of great things happening throughout the day. And one of those great things was the fact that that monstrosity in Atlantic City got torn down brick by brick, completely demolished. I wonder if Donald Trump, I wonder if he watched the demolition. I wonder if he watched his dreams just crashing to the ground years after he had to file bankruptcy and screw over all those contractors in Atlantic City. I wonder if he watched that demolition yesterday, because I watched it on endless loop. That was one of the greatest
things. I loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, in fact, I'm surprised
Nicole
that wasn't.
Nicole Wallace was like, let's watch it again.
Yeah. I'm surprised that wasn't the thing that was running through my head at 5:30 this morning, keeping me wide awake. That would have been much easier to take, because that was fun to look at. Because I've been inside that god-awful place. And it is, if you imagine Donald Trump's garish, nouveau riche penthouse at Trump Tower, imagine that, like, multiplied times, like, whatever it is, 600,000 square feet or some ludicrous size in there. Fake crystal and glass and gold. You know what it's like? It's like standing inside of one of Elvis's jumpsuits from 1975. It's
I keep thinking
like
about those Cadillacs with the chopped off trunks from the 80s. Do you remember how ugly those were?
Yeah.
And some people would put like faux gold luggage straps across right. them. And like that to me is like the essence of Trumpism.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I spent a lot of money on this. You bet it's ugly.
Well, the essence of Trumpism is just no taste. No taste whatsoever. And I'm talking about taste, preference, and style and substance. He has no fucking taste. It is absolutely absurd that he is so proud of that monstrosity, Trump Tower, and then his casinos, of course, but that penthouse in Trump Tower, I would hide that from the world. I would be so embarrassed to show off that ridiculousness. It's like he went into the Trump Tower while it's under construction and said, you know what I want my apartment to look like? I want my penthouse to look like Gold Lame. Please make it like a like Robert Goulet's
outfit. A Gold Lame trailer. You know, it's like yeah. if you had all the money in the world and no taste at all.
Right. That's right. That's right.
It really does. I mean, and it looks. It doesn't look like a dwelling. Mm-hmm. It looks like some kind of public space, like a mall.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anyone getting comfortable in that environment.
You know the living room in Goodfellas? You know, Henry Hill's living room where he's got the retractable fake stone wall that opens right. up and shows the hi-fi system behind it. And they've got lots of like cheetah print couches and things like that. That's what Donald Trump reminds me of. Donald Trump reminds me, or at least his.
Yeah, I like this place. It's classy. Yeah.
Yes, and please, let's have lots of pictures of me standing around in this place that is so utterly embarrassing that I don't know about. Oh, my God. So, well, that's gone. The casino's gone. I imagine we're going to see lots of other Trump properties demolished over the coming months and years. So that's going to be something to look forward to. But also yesterday, Rush Limbaugh died. I'm sorry. My first reaction on the show after saying Rush Limbaugh died was to chuckle out loud and go, Yeah, I mean, I don't want to necessarily revel in the fact that someone died from lung cancer. Cancer is a horrible, horrible way to die. But at the same time, Rush Limbaugh was a horrible, horrible person. And I hope we spend the next however long on here on the show talking about why he was a horrible person, not necessarily the horrible way that he had to die.
This cancel culture has gotten out of hand. God has canceled Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, what's
the big
that?
FCC director in the sky has finally pulled his plug. And
the thing with him is he was such a brilliant broadcaster. And he was.
Yeah.
He did what he did. He spoke as he spoke purely for monetary reasons.
Yeah.
Because he didn't believe half the crap that he spewed.
No.
He wasn't an ideologue. He was in it for the money. Mm-hmm. And at least if you believe it, I can give you a little bit of a break, but he was a mercenary. And then other people would believe him because he did it so well that they thought, yeah, that's how Rush really thinks, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he put this crap into people's heads and ruined relationships. You know, not he personally didn't, but it did ruin relationships in certain people's families because they would follow his lead. And he could have been a brilliant broadcaster and been a good person.
But he used his natural talent for the dark arts. He went directly to the fucking dark side. When he was, I forget what his actual real name is. I want to say Richard Christie or something like that. Something Christie, Randall Christie. But when he was just a regular DJ, man, he was good. He was good at being a radio DJ. That's a fact. But he decided to turn to the dark side of the force right out of the fucking gate as soon as he started talking at length on
the
show.
Wasn't it as soon as the Fairness Doctrine went out the window?
Probably like right around there. Yeah. That's when he rose up. I remember first hearing Rush Limbaugh in maybe 1989, somewhere around there. I mean, because I had been familiar. We always talk about Rush Limbaugh being the patient zero in the rise of right-wing hate radio. But you know who was in the mix at that point in time, right around when Rush Limbaugh rose up on the radio? Morton Downey Jr. Doesn't get enough credit for starting that trend and just far right screaming.
He died of cancer too as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I mean, that was his trademark.
He was a heavy smoker. he was a heavy smoker.
Oh, yeah. He would smoke on the
air.
Yeah, on his show with his red socks and his pablum. He used to call liberals pablum puking liberals. That was his thing on that show. Ugh. And Rush Limbaugh eventually did a show much like Morton Downey Jr.'s show, a television show. And it went off the air after, I forget exactly how long it was on the air, one, two seasons, something like that, when there was complete disarray in the studio at this one point where the audience turned into mayhem. You should look at it on YouTube. It's like this extended clip of video where Rush Limbaugh is just stunned in fear behind his desk while the audience just goes bananas all around him. It's absolutely something to behold. I mean, you want to talk about a television meltdown. Rush Limbaugh's last television show was a television fucking meltdown where they're telling him off and they're telling him what they think of him, and it was a beautiful thing to observe. But we have here, I've got some of Rush Limbaugh's most horrifying hits. I also said his greatest hits, but these are horrifying clips. We all remember his jihad against Sandra Fluck. This was from, I want to say, 2012 that happened with Sandra Fluck and birth control and the Affordable Care Act, where Sandra Fluck was not even an activist, really. And she ended up testifying before Congress saying that, you know, look, I need this birth control because I have a condition that requires.
It wasn't even her. It was a friend. It was like her close friend who has ovarian cysts and needs hormones to keep them at bay.
And he didn't understand that he doesn't understand how the pill works.
No, he thinks
you only take it like a contragestive.
Right.
He doesn't realize that it's a daily thing. And if you don't do that, you could probably get pregnant. And then like with ovarian cysts and things like that. I mean, I used to, before I, you know, everything's all dried up now, but, before when I was on the pill, when I was still creating eggs, I actually had cysts early on too, in my early 20s. Yeah. And so that was part of there was twofold that I went on the pill, and that was one of the reasons as well. And as soon as I went on it, they went away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My stepdaughter had the same kind of problem with ovarian cysts. Extraordinarily painful, extraordinarily difficult to deal with. And that's
and
one
a lot
of the only
of women,
ways to do it.
A lot of women use it also because of really bad periods.
It can
not only regulate them better, it can make them lighter and sometimes just go away.
But all that's fake, Jody. Clearly, Sandra Fluck and everyone taking birth control, they just want to be sluts. They just want to go around slutting it all up. Here's Rush Limbaugh calling Sandra Fluck a slut.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex, she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me.
All right, go fuck yourself. See, here, this guy was nabbed by customs for trying to travel to the Dominican Republic with a giant bottle of Viagra that was prescribed to him, but not in his own name. And by the way, he was with a whole bunch of other, I'm not begrudging Viagra, I'm just saying he was with a bunch of other guys on this trip, and they were going to the Dominican Republic. What do you think that they were going to do there? Allegedly, they were going to involve themselves in the sex tourism trade there, which is exploitative and awful and probably lots of underage girls in the mix, too. So, again, I say allegedly, but that's what happened with Rush Limbaugh, the guy who's calling Sandra Fluck a slut. And by the way, this was after all of that. This was after OxyContin, where he was going to a 7-Eleven, or it was either a 7-Eleven parking lot or a Walmart parking lot, and buying giant, like, garbage bags filled with OxyContin. That actually took his hearing. I mean, he lost his hearing because of all of that Oxy that he was. He was taking something like 40 Oxys a day. I mean, something beyond just normal quantities, right? There's just one other clip here. Just to play one other clip of Rush Limbaugh. This is where he was talking about how, oh yeah, by the way, guys, no actually means yes, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Stop with agreeing on the why takes all the romance out of everything. What? Takes all the seduction. Seduction used to be an art. Now, of course, it's brutish and it's predatory and it's bad. How many of you guys, in your own experience with women, have learned that no means yes if you know how to spot it?
Oh my God.
No, go fuck yourself again.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
He opened the door for Trumpism. I mean, he brought this kind of violent hate into the, and you know, and there's been this attitude from mainstream broadcasting for his whole career that's like, oh, you know, he's incendiary or, you know, he's controversial. I mean, it's like, no, the guy is a hate geyser. God taking him out was like them finally capping that oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. It's like this copious spewer of toxic sludge has been neutralized. Rejoice, my countrymen, and be glad in it. Like, I mean, really, like, he was, I mean, he actually had a, like, fun little segment he would play in the 80s and 90s where he would announce the names and locations of people who died of AIDS. I mean, he was just
fucking monster.
Hate cannon. Like, and it's, you know, I don't mind saying I'm basically, I mean, I'm glad he's dead because he, every day he was alive, he was spewing hate. And I just, but is he basically like Trump is the same guy with like a muskrat pelt on his head? I don't know.
Well, I was having this conversation with Donna Halper via DM on Twitter, and we were talking back and forth. Of course, Donna Halper has a long, long history in broadcast radio. She started out as a, you know, as a DJ, became a music director, discovered the band Rush. The only Rush to me who really exists is the band Rush. And thank God we can now, so when I write about Rush on Twitter or post about it on Facebook or Instagram, people know that I'm talking about the fucking band and not the guy, right? So I can, we're all free now to talk about our favorite Canadian rock band without people going, well, what about Rush Limbaugh? You're not praising Rush Limbaugh, are you? No, I'm not. But here's the thing about radio guys. You know, Rush Limbaugh, as I said before, started out in music radio. He was a hot rockin' DJ, and he was good at it. But here's one of the features of radio, and I don't know if you had this experience, David. I'm sure Buzz has experienced this 1,000 times over during his career. But radio guys love to bullshit. They love to aggrandize themselves. They like to make things out to seem like they're more important than they really are. Their ratings are higher. Their audience is more loyal than anyone else. They even, you know...
No, dude, I was in public radio. We would defer to each other constantly.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. After
you go ahead.
After you. Oh no, you first. Thank you.
No, please don't allow me.
Yeah,
you.
But even when you're just talking, you're talking up a record, whatever comes out of your head, you can make up the temperature, we can make up the weather, you make up the traffic, you make up where you're standing, what you look like, you know, your tastes, your, you know, just like, imagine, you know, we just watched that movie Fake Famous, which Kimberly and I are going to be talking about at length on the after party tomorrow, where there are all kinds of Instagram and social media influencers who buy all of their followers, buy their likes and buy their comments from bots and so on. DJs are like that. DJs bullshit. They make things up. They're not really as important as they think they are or that they say they are. And so Rush Limbaugh took that level of deception and then weaponized it as a right-wing talk show host. He took that career move and said, okay, look, I'm good at talking. I'm going to, you know, and he may have some level of conservatism as part of his values, but I mean, ultimately, how can you have values if you just are willing to bullshit and make things up wholesale? Mm-hmm. And so Donna Halper and I were talking about how Rush Limbaugh took that talent that he had for broadcasting and he started making shit up. 99.9% yep. of the things that he would say on that show were entirely fabricated, had no bearing on reality whatsoever. And because he's an authority figure, because he's good at using his voice, using his brain to manipulate his audience into doing what he wants them to do, he could basically IV drip that falsehood, that nonsense into the veins of his audience. And that became basically the model for an entire, and you look at the AM radio dial, what's not a mm-hmm. Spanish language station is a Rush Limbaugh clone. I mean, 24/7 from the bottom of the AM radio dial to the top of the AM radio dial, nothing but people who are copycatting Rush Limbaugh to this day. And of course, the centerpiece was Rush Limbaugh in the center of all of that. When I was working in radio full time, I was often called into board op at a radio station that was carrying the Rush Limbaugh program. So I'd have to listen to that goddamn blowhard for 3 hours a fucking day.
Oh, God.
Monitor the show, listen, you know, play the commercials in between and so on. And so
it's
I got
worse than having to run Prairie Home Companion every Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
But only by a tiny proportion, but go on.
But in that process, you could kind of see and deconstruct in your head how he could manipulate mm-hmm. people into believing all of that nonsense that was, to any outsider, anyone tuning in for the first time, knew that it was wholesale bullshit from top to bottom. Right. But those who were listening in the car and entertained by his jokes were getting sucked in. They became ditto heads, which mm-hmm. essentially implied that no matter what he said, they were endorsing blindly. Like, no matter right. what you say, Rush, I'm going to ditto whatever that is.
Well, and to me, it's funny that that term ditto head just sounds like an insult, yet they wear it with pride.
I know. It does. It really does. You know, some of the
Have you ever heard any of the Jim Jones tapes from Jonestown?
Yes.
You know what? I don't think I have. I don't think I've listened to those.
He would, things. You know, he had PA, you know, uh-huh. speakers all over the compound, and yeah. he would take a bunch of speed and just like run his mouth wow. for hours. Hmm. And he would harangue, you know, and he had he would tell these people, you know, they are coming through the jungle. They are coming for us. We have to stand together. And he just, it was, and that's what I heard when I heard Rush Limbaugh the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was like, it's brainwashing. Yeah. It's cult. I mean, whether he believed it or not, they created a monster.
Yeah.
And I just.
Yeah. It was a monster.
You know, you look like people are like, why are COVID cases suddenly falling? COVID cases are falling all over the country. And they're like, what's up with this? And it's because they took Donald Trump offline. And yeah. because Rush Limbaugh hasn't been on the radio since January.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the actual like geyser of garbage information has been silenced to a yeah. certain extent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now all those hard-headed assholes in the Midwest are listening to their wives when they're saying, put on a mask, honey, please. You know, like,
yeah.
it's...
Yeah, because, again, it's the brainwashing of my dad. It's the summation of that story where Jen Senko's dad in that movie. I can't go back to that film enough, by the way. It's a must-see to understand what we're dealing with right now as far as the population of red hats in this country. And what she was able to do was steer her dad, who had been indoctrinated by Rush Limbaugh and Fox News Channel, she was able to steer him away from that universe by restricting his access to that kind of information. So she clandestinely signed him up for some email newsletters that were coming from reputable sources. I think she may have even, I forget, it's been a couple of years since I've seen the movie, but I think she may have even blocked Fox News Channel on his cable box. Yeah, Jody, have you done that?
Yeah.
Who'd you do that to?
My house.
At your?
The whole house.
Oh, your house. Oh, just for yourself.
Just in case.
Just out of principle. Okay.
Just out of principle.
I thought you knew someone that you were trying
to
arrest.
No. Okay. I mean, I wanted to teach Stephanie how to do it for her mom.
Oh, okay.
But now that her mom thinks Stephanie has a show on Fox News, that would be mean.
Does she really? Oh.
There's an anchor on Fox News that looks a little bit like Stephanie.
Yeah.
And so her mom keeps going, oh, you were so good today.
Oh, man.
Because she can't watch free speech TV because they don't get that in the nursing home. So yeah, she now thinks her name, I think the woman's name is Dakin or something. She looks a little enough like Stephanie so that when her mom is watching Fox News, she thinks it's now Stephanie. And Stephanie doesn't have the heart to tell her no.
Oh, by the way, if you haven't heard Tuesday's show yet, oh, my God, just listen to the first segment of Tuesday's show and bring your tissues because Buzz tells a story. Speaking of
Buzz is back.
Parents and their kids. Yeah, Buzz is back, of course. I forgot to mention that when we were talking all about his jingle. It is still right now stuck in my head. I'm hearing boom, 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 boom.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Thank you. Oh, it's gone.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
That's amazing. It's disappeared from my head. It's a miracle.
Paul was the original. I mean, that guy could write an earworm like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah, Well, so Buzz updated us with a story about his dad and his podcast. Not his dad's podcast. His dad doesn't have a podcast. But I meant Buzz's podcast, Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Final edition is tomorrow. The very last Buzz Burbank News and Comment is tomorrow. And we're all going to be sad to see that go. I think the news is going to be much worse off. I mean, I'm talking about the news as an industry is going to be much worse off without Buzz reporting it every week. But he told a story about his dad. And oh, my God, it is the, you know, it's the sort of thing we all love to hear from our parents, that we all desire to hear from our parents. And I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to get into it. You got to go listen to Tuesday's show to find out what was said there. But
I think that might trigger a full-on breakdown for me. I want a hall pass. I'm skipping this assembly. I have issues.
You can't listen to Tuesday's show. I've blocked your IP address. You can't even download it, David. No, not at all. So, just a couple last things here about Rush Limbaugh, too. The racism. We can't talk about Rush Limbaugh without talking about how he made racism okay again in this country. Mm-hmm. He made it okay to say things like Barack the Magic Negro. He did a whole bit about Barack the Magic Negro. This is a little racist, and at the same time, it's also a completely horrible taste. He was involved in this thing, and it's still happening today, where these right-wing talk show hosts attack non-combatants. They attack children. They attack high school principals. They assault teachers, and they attack homeless people. See also Jesse Waters, that unforgivable douchebag, who also, by the way, copying Rush Limbaugh. And so one of the things that Rush Limbaugh did during the Obama years was relentlessly make fun of Sasha and Malia Obama, where he would imitate their voices and attack them for this or that. And he would go after all, like, there was a little boy who was standing next to Barack Obama during the signing of the Affordable Care Act. Rush Limbaugh attacked the little boy. You know, this is a trend that we saw on the far right for many, many years. And as I said, it continues today, where they don't care who it is. They don't care if that person, in fact, it's even better if that person has no savvy in communicating on television or on the radio. That's like an ideal target. It's an easy target. They love the easy targets.
Copying Rush Limbaugh is basically just monetizing being a human hemorrhoid.
Yeah, that's right.
Ew, David.
Yeah. And by the way, Cigar Aficionado. Maybe Cigar Aficionado is not the publication to be eulogizing Rush Limbaugh after the guy dies of lung cancer. I'm just saying. They did a whole thing saying goodbye to Rush Limbaugh, who was a heavy cigar smoker. And God only knows what else.
But if he couldn't be more foul, we have to make sure that he's putting off a cloud of burning tire smell as well.
That's right. You remember when Marlboro eulogized Yul Brynner after he... No, I'm kidding. It's just like, no, you don't do that. You just stay away. You take the high road. Don't call attention to yourselves and your encouragement of people to use more and more tobacco products tainted with all varieties of awful, awful chemicals. Stay away from people who have died of lung cancer. Thank you very much. Okay, So if something is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, consider our sponsor, BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P. BetterHelp seeks to provide professional help with ease. It's not a crisis line. This is professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours, connecting in a safe, private online environment. Send a message to your counselor and receive a timely response. Schedule weekly video or phone sessions, whatever works for you. Anything you share is confidential. And if you want to try a new therapist, it's simple and free to switch. BetterHelp says they're more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Start living a happier life today. You'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sexyliberal. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/sexyliberal, and receive 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Jason Revoir.
Oh, you picked this for me, didn't you? I love his voice.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. I think you also are a big fan of his other project, Cougar the Tiger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the same guy. I'm pretty sure. This is a song called "The Best I Can," or I'm sorry, "The Best That I Can," from the album Wonder Theist. Link in the description of BobSeska.com, Revoir.bandcamp.com if you need to know it now. Love this.
Giving
stuff.
Me those Chris Isaac shivers. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just really great, like, throwback.
This needs to be sung like straight into my ear, you know?
Absolutely. This entire EP is wonderful from top to bottom. I think there's five tracks on it. We've already played one of the tracks early on in the history of the Indie Music Countdown, and this is the latest from Jason Revoir. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Thank you so much for doing that. Okay, so Texas is a giant block of ice right now, and Ted Cruz bailed out for Cancun.
He's back, okay. I think, though.
Is he back?
Yeah.
Is
he? He's trying to play it off that he always intended to return immediately, that he was taking his family there.
Yeah, he said, first off, his daughters wanted to go, so that's why they went, so whatever. But here's his... new statement.
Okay.
This has been an infuriating week for Texans. The greatest state and the greatest country in the world has been without power. We have food lines, gas lines, people sleeping in the neighbors' houses. Our homes are freezing. Lights are out like millions of Texans. Our family lost heat and power too. With school canceled for the week, our girls asked to take a trip with friends wanting to be a good dad. I flew down with them last night and am flying back this afternoon. My staff and I are in constant communication with state and local leaders to get to the bottom of what happened in Texas. We want our power back, our water on, our homes warm. My team and I will continue using all of our resources to keep Texans informed and safe. He threw his daughters under the bus.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, absolutely. What a goddamn... holy shit.
He's basically like, if what she said came to life and was a person. You know? I mean, he's just... Especially if it was something that had nothing to do with sex. That, yeah, you know, everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I mean, he just... He is the absolute worst.
He is.
I mean...
So he left his kids down there. I assume the mom is down there, but it's like apparently he flew down there with his daughters and I assume wife. So I assume the wife is down there still. But today, what happened over the news early this morning was he was on standby. So he wasn't planning on coming back if he was on standby.
No.
Secondly, as he was in the air, apparently his staff contacted the police down in Houston to have them meet him at the plane, I guess.
Yeah, Jim Acosta
so that he wouldn't be yelled at. I suppose they would get him off the flight before anybody else got off, and then they would whisk him away.
Well, it's a good thing the cops in Houston don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, it's a snowstorm. I think they have better things than to take care of this fucking asshole.
But what a fucking weasel with his visible layer of slime, David. It was one of the best.
His visible layer. He's like a slimy little cuttlefish. Or like aubergine or something coated in KY. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Oh, his whole face just bothers me. Like, and now he's got that trailer park haircut with the shaved sides and the and it's just like Ted.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I had no idea he was so like short and round as those pictures from the plane.
He's just a weasel of the highest order. I mean, how can you someone like that make it past the sniff test of, you know, most of the time you watch Ted Cruz and I'm just like the alarms are going off in my head. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Everything he says is bullshit. He is so.
But this is the thing. He's been running for president since the day he was born.
Yeah.
Right? While the rest of us were having normal lives, having first relationships, he's been thinking about President Cruz.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just been, and it's like, it has, but he will never get there because he's an also ran. He's just got that, like, second place thing about him, like, forever.
He's like the worst.
He's going to inherit, like, the Trump constituency.
Right.
But he doesn't have whatever it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the charisma. I mean, I hate Donald Trump, but there is something charismatic about
him. Of course.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley might have that. Ted Cruz doesn't. And they all think that Donald's sycophants and cult members are going to follow them. They're not. They're not. I don't even think they'd follow Ivanka at this point.
Yeah.
They're not Donald Trump. He had that thing that he's a good bullshitter. He's a great marketer, but that's it. He can't do anything but market.
And no one on the Hill likes Ted Cruz. He is he's extraordinarily unlikable for all the reasons we're just talking about here. I mean, even to other Republicans, they're just like, oh, Ted Cruz.
You know, he used to hang out in his dorm in a smoking jacket and a fucking cravat.
Yeah,
and slippers, so, and a, like, and trying to like be this playboy and like, you know, like mac on the women, and they were just like, what planet are you from?
He's somewhere between like the worst possible sideshow barker, like the guy who stands outside the chicken girl's tent and calls people into.
No, but he's that guy's bitch. Is the thing.
So he's not even the guy. He's not
even
the barker.
No, he's not even the sleazy carnival barker. He's the guy that brings the carnival barker his glass of whiskey. And it's like, here, chief, I got your glass of whiskey. You know, like.
That's awesome. Yes, exactly fucking right. And I was going to say, be somewhere between that and, like, the worst used car salesman. Refund. He wouldn't even
He's the one on the lot that can't even keep his numbers up.
Yeah.
He's like the one the other sleazy used car salesman dunk on.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Your numbers are down again this month. And he just.
I'm giving him too much credit is what I'm doing by saying he's a terrible used car salesman. I got to aim lower with those metaphors, I think. That's where I'm going wrong here. So
if his job was to be pond scum, the other pond scum would hate him.
Well, of course, all the other Republicans are lining up to defend Ted Cruz right now, including Eric Erickson and all these guys. Dinesh D'Souza. You know, if Dinesh D'Souza suddenly landed in my corner, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my corner, Dinesh D'Souza. You're not helping. But of course, Ted Cruz doesn't care because Ted Cruz is worse than all of those guys put together. He's like a carbuncle on Dinesh D'Souza's neck. He's just like the worst of the worst. I know that's
ew, David.
He's like, really gross. But
he's like if Dinesh D'Souza and Sebastian Gorka had a baby.
That's right. There you go. You win. You win the Ted Cruz metaphor contest today, David. Holy shit.
A horrible, entitled baby that thinks it's supposed to be president on day one.
Well, all these guys are like, well, what's wrong with him going on vacation? Well,
it's the optics. If you want to fucking be president, you don't fucking do that.
Exactly.
I mean, okay. So when I was able, with my mother and my sister and her son and various other people, to meet Barack Obama, it was during the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And he had actually had a meeting with a woman who fainted at a press conference right before we met him. It was about the Affordable Care Act, and she fainted. So we're like, oh, God. She's fine. But so he was like, we were told we would be able to meet him unless, because I think the government had just reopened. So him meeting with Carol Burnett would have been bad optics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was literally like, if something happens, he can't meet with you because of the optics of it. Not that he wouldn't want to, or not that it's not a good idea to meet you or anything. It's just this would be bad optics. So Ted Cruz leaving town and then throwing his kids under the bus. But leaving town, if you want to be presidenting, You don't do that.
No, no. That's like the oldest trick in the book. That's like the thing that you never, ever do if you're a politician. That is like day one of politician lessons. Okay, lesson number one. Don't get caught having sex with an underage girl. Don't do that. That's lesson number one. Number two.
Dead girl, live boy.
Yes, optics matter. Don't go on vacation when there's a crisis in your state. That's just a rule. That's a basic thing. And you would think Ted Cruz, who went to like the shittiest politician school in all of the shitty politician schools, like some sort of awful like side of the road.
Like the Rockstar Institute.
Yeah, sort
for
of like
politicians.
Like the
Chris Christie did the same thing and he didn't learn from him.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Remember he went to the beach?
Mm-hmm. Just dumb shit. Yeah.
Go look at my timeline. They've been photoshopped together.
I know. I saw that. That's so good. But, you know, ultimately, we're sitting here almost concern trolling with, you know, Texas Republican voters. But you know what? They're still going to vote for Ted Cruz. They're still going to support Ted Cruz. His numbers aren't going.
I don't know. I think Texas might be the next Georgia.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying that Republicans will still line up and not give a shit. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We do, and that's the name of the game as far as every election goes. We just simply have to outnumber these fucking bozos. And so
I was looking at that whole situation and being like, it's almost like someone privatized something that should be public so that a handful of wealthy white people could make more money.
Right.
Nah, it couldn't possibly be that.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly fucking right. I mean, Texas has its own grid. It's run mostly by Republican politicians. And so, of course, they're blaming the crisis on AOC and California. Because, you know,
that's, I think, pretty much been blown out of the water in the
of
they
course.
Floated that one. And it was just people were like, no, like Bill Clinton pounding on the podium. No. You know,
that's right. And also, no, Joe Biden didn't use weather weapons to send winter storms to Texas.
Come on.
This has been a
really,
thing.
Really, Bob?
I know.
Yes, we did, Texas. Shiver. Shiver in your freezing dark homes. The gays did this. Oop, I just knocked off my headphones. Mad scientist laughed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, if you look up in the sky and you see the snowflakes coming down, here's what you got to do. Look for little tiny airplanes and helicopters moving the snow toward Texas. Have you seen the tiny airplanes?
Tiny
and the
black helicopters.
Have you seen the weather weapons moving all that snow and coldness toward the state of Texas? That's Joe Biden using his weather weapons to attack Texas.
But PolitiFact had to debunk this nonsense. PolitiFact actually had to fact check that Biden did not send weather weapons to Texas or Shut send up. The storm system. Yes, they had to do a fact check on this because there's a viral Facebook post, of course. Okay, so in a February 15th post, Scott L. Biddle wrote that the storm resulted from weather manipulation and controlling the jet stream, something he assured people is not a conspiracy.
They do it with chemtrails.
That's right. He said he assured his people that it's not a conspiracy theory. Oh, well, in that case, it must be true. If he says it's not. He went on to say, Joe Biden's dark winter statement was not a random thought. It was a foreshadow of what's to come. Texas is the only state to have its own entirely independent electric grid. Hey, thanks for helping. Thanks for making sure that's clarified. I think that part's true. But then PolitiFact had to go. And of course, pants on fire. Duh. Of course it's pants on fire. There were no weather weapons. Remember there was a super tornado
I think
or something?
It's okay for us to let them believe that we can do this.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah. I think that's maybe that's the real weather weapon. The idea that there could be weather weapons. So look
when
out.
I was in high school, a rumor went around that I was a witch and that I'd hexed this one like popular girl, like a mean girl, and then everything bad that happened to her she thought was a hex, and she like came to me and was like, please, you know, lift the curse. And I'm like, you can't unthrow a rock, girl. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so let him think it.
Speaking of
behave, Texas, or we will send the tornadoes.
That's right. Joe Biden is going to get in one of his tiny helicopters or one of his tiny airplanes and send that weather storm system down to you. Look out. Oh, for fuck's sake. So speaking of optics, when we come back from a short break, I want to talk about the Lincoln Project and hopefully this is the final word on the Lincoln Project scandal. And it's, I'm now at the point where I'm officially pissed off at the Lincoln Project. We're going to talk about that and wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This is one of my Facebook friends. This is George Harris and a song called Young Republicans. And the reason he wrote this song is because his girlfriend at the time left him for a young Republican. And that young Republican's name was Rafael Ted Cruz. No, I'm kidding.
That was about to be the most saddest story I've ever heard.
No. But, you know, a young Republican is a young Republican. That's still bad. Still bad. BobSeska.com/music. I love this track, by the way, from George Harris. George drew a picture of me one time as Captain Scary Pants. You can see it on my Instagram page. The Bob Seska, by the
Malcolm
way.
Malcolm Nance's name.
Oh, yeah. No, he was wasn't
Shouty McShoutface.
Shouty McShoutface. Yeah. I'm Captain Scary Pants. Yeah. No one else is Captain. I'm the only one who's Captain
true.
Scary
you
Pants, thanks
one.
To Stephanie.
Yes.
I am the only Captain Scary Pants. That is absolutely true.
One.
You know what? I never promote my Instagram page. Please go and subscribe to my Instagram. The Bob Seska is what it is. Very easy to remember. There's no underscores in it, I assure you. I made it very easy to remember. Okay, so getting back into things here. So I've totally lost my patience with the Lincoln Project guys. And you know, I spent a lot of time on the record defending, not specifically the Lincoln Project, but I spent a lot of time defending Never Trumpers. And I stand by that defense. I believe that that is a vital part of the Biden coalition. And moving forward, the existential crisis facing this country necessitates having this big tent coalition. And I could go on and on and on about justifying that. But
and I said...
What did you say?
Do you remember? I'm like, these people have been perfectly fine with everything up to Trump.
Yeah, well, that's
right.
True. But now,
I don't trust them, but they were useful to us.
The stakes and the rules have changed. I completely sympathize with what you're saying. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, we've been following, blogging about politics for basically the same length of time. And everything you say is 100% true. I just feel like the parameters of the political debate in this country have changed and shifted so dangerously that we do need to make sure that we, you know, hang on to this Biden coalition coming out of the 2020 election. So that doesn't
feel like that's fair, but I think we should also point out that conservatives just can't handle the pressures of success. Like, you know, it's like the Breitbart got everything they wanted when Trump got elected, and now it's been scattered to the four winds. Remember just the whole conservative media meltdown of 2017?
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, you know, the Lincoln Project succeeded in its primary objective and now has blown apart at the seams. The people I'm thinking about were all the people who probably are in their 20s and were working in the media section, you know, and like probably were not making a lot of money. And now they've been just like cut loose and tarred with the other people's. Disgrace.
Well, I mean, what I don't want to do is necessarily conflate the Lincoln Project, which is a very limited number of people, versus the entirety of the Never Trumper movement. These are two, they're not separate and distinct, but the Never Trumper population is much, much larger than just, you know, the five guys who run the Lincoln Project. But, you know, these guys for a year at least running the Lincoln Project were on Twitter lecturing us and correcting us and telling us how savvy they were in terms of political campaigns and how we're doing it wrong and they're doing it right and we need to listen to them. And then it comes down to, I mean, we were talking earlier about the first two lessons that you learn in politics if you go to politics school. One of the lessons you learn when you go to learn about becoming a political strategist, if there is a like horrible, horrible statutory rape kind of sex scandal in your midst, you get out in front of that thing. Yeah. You call it out.
Yeah.
You do the right thing as soon as you fucking hear about it, if for no other reason but to guard your own ass. You don't try to cover it up. People find out this shit gets out there. And you know what? It was out there. And they failed. March of whatever it was, March of 2020, they knew what John Weaver was doing. They knew that John Weaver had been praying. And, you know, I'll throw in allegedly. They allegedly knew that John Weaver was, and he's one of the principals in the Lincoln Project, if not the main guy. They knew that he was preying on not just other people online, not just offering, you know, trying to trade sex for internships or whatever, but he preyed on a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And they knew this shit, and yet they didn't do the right thing, which is, again...
But they're Republicans. That's not their impulse when something happens there. It's like, cover it up.
Yeah.
Cover it up. You know, that's just like all they knew. I mean, that's their... Bless their hearts.
Right.
I mean, it just...
again...
They were, you know, we weaponized their meanness because this is an example. John Weaver is an example of how living in the closet makes you mean as shit. And we use it against one of their own.
Yeah.
And now we're done with them and they can go away.
But, well, I mean, yeah.
There should be some accountability, obviously.
Well, I think we're seeing the accountability now. I think the Lincoln Project is done. They had great aspirations coming out of 2020. They were going to start a media empire of some sort, and that's all gone away. You know, the principals in the Lincoln Project who were aware of all the names, they will continue to work, in some cases, Democratic politics. I mean, Steve Schmidt is now a registered Democrat, and he's going to be working for Democratic candidates. So irrespective of what happened with this scandal, they will continue to go on and do their thing. But at the same time, looking back at the fact that so many of us vouched for the Lincoln Project and what they were doing, while I guess valuable in terms of fueling the water cooler wars and making sure that the messaging was out there and trolling Donald Trump with a series of ads in Washington, D.C. and so on, that was all valuable. But for fuck's sake,
undoubtedly useful.
Yeah, but not helping now. This is like Anthony Weiner. Not helping. Bad judgment. Bad judgment.
Avenatti. The lawyer. Yeah.
Exactly. Makes us all look bad. We all have some level of blood spatter on us from this ugliness that they've been involved in now. And so this raises a level of resentment in me, not just because I defended Never Trumpers, but because it just, if you're fighting in the trenches on social media and so on, if you're doing what we're doing every day, you don't need to give these people any more ammunition. By these people, I mean red hat trolls and so on. And all this does is it fuels their conspiracy theories about whatever it was, pizza restaurants having secret, sex trafficking things going on in the basement or whatever the fuck the conspiracy theories are. This only adds to it and makes us all look shitty by association. and not what we needed going into the Biden years. Because, I mean, I'm surprised that this isn't 24/7 on Fox News Channel. I don't know why it's not yet. Maybe it's hasn't bled over to that network yet. But
well, they've got lawsuits of their own to be worried about right now. I think they're kind of trying to cover ass and not incur any more legal notices.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, they are working with attorneys to put together, you know, an investigation into what exactly happened. And okay, that's fine. That's standard operating procedure, of course. But this should have happened a year ago. This should have happened as soon as they found out what was going on. And by the way, there are allegations suggesting that the attorneys they're hiring were also contributors to the Lincoln Project. So there was just a ton of, and that's the other dimension.
See,
to this.
You can't count on Republicans to do the right thing ever, 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 ever.
Steve Schmidt's a Democrat now, David.
You know, like until, wait, that was been there like 2 months, 3 months.
I know, I know. I mean, you know, look.
You signed off on busing as a racial issue. You signed off on school vouchers. You signed off on pro-life, quote unquote, which, by the way, Kimberly's debate with Joe Walsh. Have you guys listened to it yet?
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it. Yeah. I helped
actually,
her.
I listened to about three quarters of it before I had to stop listening to his voice because I find his voice really grating.
Really?
But she was amazing. Yeah. Kimberly Johnson, if you're listening, girl, your patience, your kindness, your fairness, I just like. But I mean, still, like at one point, Joe Walsh was just like, okay, well, you win. He's like, I can't really argue against that. You know, and I was just like, well, damn, Kimberly.
Patreon.com/startmeup to support her podcast. Again, it's the Start Me Up podcast with Kimberly Johnson. You can find it everywhere you get your podcasts. You know, I so seldom plug her shows because I don't want to be accused of nepotism or something like that, but it's just a great fucking show. That's absolutely true.
She just she just hit him with like hypothetical after hypothetical, and he's like, I don't have an answer for that.
Right, right.
It was like,
yeah, they do.
I gotta send her a note because I mean, really, it was like watching like some kind of sword dance or something. It was so intricate and yet so like just gracious and graceful.
That's
I mean,
so
it was
sweet.
Just,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, a salute to Joe Walsh too, because he agreed to do it. I think it was partly his idea for them to debate abortion on her show, where she had the upper hand. She basically had the vocal high ground in that discussion because she was running the show. So I give him credit for acquiescing and doing that whole thing, and that took some guts. Took some guts to put it all out there like that and debate someone, and so seldom happens these days. But yeah, so, you know, the Never Trumpers, I try to, and this includes Joe Walsh too, I try to give the Never Trumpers in general a wide berth. Being a former Republican myself, you know, suffice to say, it was when I was in high school, it was when I was 17, 18 years old, and I didn't know anything. Rapidly evolved into being a liberal as soon as I got to college. But, you know, I try to give them a wide enough berth to make this transition. It's not something where they snap their fingers overnight and suddenly they're liberalized. That's not how it works. It takes a while to evolve and to kind of figure out where their place is. So, you know, I try to at least give them that kind of latitude personally myself. But that doesn't necessarily mean any of you have to. I'm just saying that's how I operate with these guys. But with the Lincoln Project, that is separate. They really badly fucked up. Badly fucked up. And this is maybe one of the most catastrophic fuck-ups that you can do. In the pantheon of fuck-ups, covering up a child sex scandal, a child rape scandal.
Oh, I just, you know, I'm going to hold that thought to myself.
It was, okay.
Not very nice, but it was about projection and Republicans and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, these are people who like, you know, I've spent like my entire adult life being called an unnatural person because I'm gay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that my marriage shouldn't be, you know, so I'm just like, yeah, welcome to our side. We've used you. Go get out.
Exactly. Yep. And Rush Limbaugh was a big part of that. And some of these guys who ran the Lincoln Project were also a part of that. Some of them have repented and seen the error of their ways, and some of them haven't.
It's like if the kid that beat you up and took your lunch money every day in eighth grade suddenly shows up in ninth grade afraid of an even bigger bully and wants your help. It's like, let's you and him fight.
It's like in DC Comics, Lex Luthor at one point becomes part of the Justice League, I believe. It's so strange what happens sometimes, but there you go. I have no idea.
Thanks for taking that back to an 11-year-old's comprehension.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? Now that I've said it, I'm not sure that I'm correct on that. I don't know. I don't know if... Now, I'm like, oh shit, am I getting this right? Did I remember that correctly? I have no idea. Well, anyway, we're going to continue this conversation on the Postmortem Show on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. You want to keep up with the rest of the festivities here today after this music is done playing? We keep on talking, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it takes. And it's the best part of the show. You're missing out on a lot. Everyone says, oh my God, I wish this was part of the free show. But no, you got to subscribe at our Patreon page, $5 a month. That's all it takes. You get 2 Postmortem shows a week for that $5 a month. And if you sign up for a little more, you sign up at $10 a month, you get the 2 Postmortem shows every week, plus the Friday after party with me and the aforementioned Kimberly A. Johnson. And it's a lot of fun. It's our Friday after party show where we talk about our personal lives and really obscene sex, drugs, politics, rock and roll, all the rest of it. For some reason, the topic of penises comes up a lot, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it's kind of become synonymous with the after party. I have no idea. I have no idea how that happened. Meanwhile, Jody Hamilton can be found at from-the-bunker.com. It's the From the Bunker podcast every Tuesday, right? Did I get that right? Tuesday? Yes, it's every Tuesday.
Yes.
Of course. Duh. Yes. All right. Yeah. See, I'm still blaming the Rocky Mountain Mike Buzz Burbank jingle for.
Oh, I tweeted out the song. I tweeted out the part of the sketch where my mom sings the song that's in my head.
Oh, great.
To both
okay.
of you guys. Hopefully you can. It's from
Shout
Factory. Oh, my
God. Astral Summer are going to have to cover this now.
Well, that's it for the show, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold it. Don't nobody move. If you're sick and tired of the commercials on the show, I've got a solution for you. For just $15 per month, you can get the Ultimate Edition of this podcast. Here's what that means. The Ultimate Edition combines the free version of the show with the Postmortem Show that we record after the end credits. Plus, we take out all the commercials just for you. That means you get the hour-long free show, plus the 20-minute Postmortem Show, where all the real fun happens. And you get all of that without commercials for just $15 per month. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the All Caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.